This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, very happy and delighted to be with you today. Love to spend this time with you Monday through Friday as we discuss issues of importance to your life and your faith. Always inviting you to share the good news right here through Women of Grace Live. And for that reason, we give you that number that we like you to use. It's toll-free for you right here in North America, it is. And it begins this way. It is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Don't be shy. Give it a try. I think you're going to like it. Yes, I do. Charles Beery will be answering the phone today. He is our call screener, and he will get your information up on the board so I can address you. Like to tell you and remind you, if you're a first-time caller, please do let us know, and I ring my welcome bell for you, which makes me ever so happy to welcome you to our broadcast. Also available for you out there in social media land, Jeff Burson, who is our social media manager and our producer, will go out to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page, and he'll retrieve your question or comment and put it up on the board. And again, I remind you, if you're a first-time submitter, do let him know so I can also welcome you to our program today. We're also available for you outside of North America. It's a separate number. Let me give you that number. It is country code 1-205-271-2985. That's country code 1-205-271-2985. As I like to remind you, it's a good idea to call in early because when you wait, well, sometimes we can't get to you. And that happened yesterday, and we sure don't want that to happen again today. So do call in early. If you called in yesterday and you couldn't get in, here's your opportunity. Get that question into us. You can do it one of the two ways that I gave to you, by phone or through social media. And we will be sure to be able to address it for you today. Lots of good things going on in Women of Graceland. You know, we're getting close to, you know, where are we here? It's almost August. We used to say, you know, after Labor Day, everything kind of picks up again because that's when the children went back to school and all of that. But, you know, for quite some time now, the children have been going back to school in August. And so our whole pattern of life begins to change, you know, as we approach that date. And I want to remind you that this is a perfect time to be planning your Women of Grace Foundational Study Group. Now, if you've never attended a Women of Grace Study Group, if you've never facilitated a Women of Grace Study Group, I want to invite you to do both. I really do, because this is a transforming, really marvelous way for you to enter more deeply into the knowledge and recognition of who you are as a daughter of the Most High God. And I am near giddy with what God has done in and through this Women of Grace study in the years that it's been available. And it is one of those things that is not in a time capsule in the sense that it's not preserved in a, you know, and it doesn't become outdated. It is always fresh. It is always new because the Holy Spirit is always about a work in us. We should say that together. The Holy Spirit is always about a work in us. And then we should take that third person, objective case pronoun us and change it to from the plural to the singular. The Holy Spirit is always about a work in me. He's always about a work in me, and he's always about a work in you as well. And so as a result of that, each time we go through the study, we experience something new, a new vibrancy in our faith, a new dynamic of God's life at work within us. And so even if you've taken the study, you can take it again. It never, ever gets worn out. It just plain doesn't. And there's a reason for that, because it's built on the truths of the faith. Right? It's based on immutable realities, who you are as a woman, and the great metaphysical truths that are associated with that. It's really just a marvelous exploration that gives us a fresh, I think, you know, understanding of who a woman is, especially in a day and time where there's ideologies out there that would try to convince us that we're something that we're not. But in addition to that, there's always a fresh anointing that is about it. So I do want for you to see if there is a Woman of Grace study going on in your area. If there is not a Woman of Grace study going on in your area, well, then know that maybe God is asking you to be a facilitator. We will walk alongside of you if you say yes to being a facilitator. If you've never facilitated before, it doesn't matter. You can go through it and facilitate. You can call some of your friends together or some of the ladies from your parish together or, you know, maybe even your family members together, your siblings, your cousins, your aunts, you know, your grandparents, your parents. So I do want to let you know that there's a number of ways in which you can organize a group, but God will give you the grace that you need to lead the people through, and you will see the gift of your spiritual maternity just blossoming in you, a really tremendous opportunity. All of the information is available for you out there at our website, womenofgrace.com, and I certainly do invite you to explore it and to find out about it. Now, in addition to that, I want to make you aware of the fact that we are having a Women of Grace retreat in person. Yay! We're so excited. We cannot wait to come together with all of our sacred sisters and spend this time together. So spare no effort. You know, come and join us. We're going to be in San Antonio, Texas. Now, I know we've got a good following in San Antonio, Texas. We've got lots of people who listen to this broadcast there and who watch us on television. And now we're going to be right there with our very first Women of Grace retreat in San Antonio, Texas. So we're very, very eager for you to join us. The theme is Made for Joy, the Call and Gift of the Catholic Woman. Made for Joy, the Call and Gift of the Catholic Woman. And I can tell you, you are not going to be sorry should you come and join us. It's being held at the beautiful parish of Our Lady of the Atonement Catholic Church. It is going to begin on Friday evening, September the 16th, and it's going to run through Saturday. Excuse me, I'm giving you the wrong date. It's going to start Saturday, September the 17th and run through the 18th. Okay, so the retreat begins the 17th and runs through the 18th. The Benedicta Enrichment Seminar begins on the 16th and runs through the afternoon of the 17th, so that you're able to attend the retreat, which follows. So you can come to the Benedicta by itself, you can come to the retreat by itself, or you can come to both of them together, which is what I really would love for you to do. We also are going to have a Young Women of Grace retreat that's going to be happening on Saturday, September the 18th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. We have marvelous speakers coming, and I'm excited about it, and I want you to join us there because God wants to do a great work in you. He wants for you to experience this abundant life in our Lord Jesus Christ. He wants for you to know who you are as a daughter of the Most High God. So I invite you to get out to our website. It's number one in the slideshow. I just want for you to click on that. It's a hyperlink. It's going to take you to a landing page. You're going to be able to register right online. It's going to tell you about our speakers. It's going to share with you what the presentations are. And I just have to tell you, it's just going to be a very beautiful, beautiful time to be together. I'm going to be there. Melissa Molesky is going to be there. So eager for her to be there. I've had her on television. I've had her on, I think I've had her on radio. If I haven't, we got to get her on radio, Jeff. Melissa Molesky, Praise and Worship Music with Living Praise Worship Team. It's just going to be, we're going to have more guests there. We're firming up a couple of more speakers. Eager for you to be with us on this beautiful, beautiful day. So get out there and read all about it. You hear that music. I don't know where the time went. I just got all wound up and all excited here. We're going to be right back. More coming on the other side of the break. 833-288-EWTN. 833-288-3986. Coming right back. Stay tuned.
Encouraging women in their gift of authentic femininity. Here's more Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Welcome back, friends. We're so happy to have you with us today. We certainly are, and we're looking forward to hearing from you. Let me give you the number that you can use right here for Women of Grace Live. It is an 800 number, meaning that it's toll-free. It really doesn't start 800, though. But anyway, it is toll-free for you right here in North America. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We've got a number for you if you're outside of North America, and that number is country code 1 205 205-271-2985. Again, that's country code 1-205-271-2985. Also available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. We invite you to use the chat feature. Get your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement up there. Jeff Burson will dash right on out there, and he'll retrieve it, and he'll get it up on the board, and we can address it. Charles Beery is on phones today. Be sure to say howdy, hey, Charles, when you call in. Puts a big old smile on his face, and if it's one thing we like to do, it's to make Charles Beery smile, and it's to keep him very busy. So we invite you to give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. Well, you know, this is the month that Holy Mother Church dedicates to the most precious blood of Jesus. It's a time when she is calling us to reflect more deeply upon his most precious blood. And yesterday we began to move through the litany of the most precious blood of Jesus. And it's a long litany. We didn't get through all of it. And I thought that for our reflection today, in light of the most precious blood of Jesus, we would just continue with that litany. So in this beautiful way, it helps for us to see different aspects of his precious blood, why it is precious, and how it is that we can enter into the graces that are provided for us by his most precious blood. So I'm going to ask you to make the sign of the cross in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We will begin with the opening prayers. Lord, have mercy. And you respond, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Jesus, hear us. You respond, Jesus, graciously hear us. God, the Father of heaven, have mercy on us. God, the Son, Redeemer of the world, have mercy on us. God, the Holy Spirit, have mercy on us. Holy Trinity, one God, have mercy on us. Blood of Christ, without which there is no forgiveness, save us. Blood of Christ, Eucharistic drink and refreshment of souls, save us. Blood of Christ, stream of mercy, save us. Blood of Christ, victor over demons, save us. Blood of Christ, courage of martyrs, save us. Blood of Christ, strength of confessors, save us. Blood of Christ, bringing forth virgins, save us. Blood of Christ, help of those in peril, save us. And finally for today, blood of Christ, relief of the burdened, save us. And we offer this prayer to you, Father God, in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen. And so it is, friends, that we remind ourselves that God is always there for us. And this beautiful, beautiful litany reminds us that he is there for us, and he's won every victory through his most precious blood. We simply need to ask for it. We've got a prayer request, and I want to go to that prayer request to begin with here. Jeff, do we have it?
Hi, this is Rachel from Norwalk, Connecticut, praying for baby Matthias. He's very, very born very early, prematurely from placenta parvia. I'm not clear on the name. Very, very small in the hospital in NICU, and needs lots of prayers, lots of prayers. Needs the Lord to watch out over him. Please pray for Matthias. Thank you.
Oh, you're so very welcome. And let us just do that now, friends. Let's just come together in the name of the Lord. You know, is a fact that we just finished a section of that beautiful litany on the precious blood of Jesus. And so, Father God, we come before you in this moment, and we lift up baby Matthias. We lift him up to you, Lord God. And even as we lift him up to you, we see that precious blood of Jesus raining down upon him now, Lord, bringing him every spiritual blessing in the heavens, filling him and imbuing him with a divine life. Father God, we ask that in this moment, this little wee child of yours, this one whom you've called into existence, this one with whom you were in love before the very foundations of the world were laid in place, this one whom you've created in your image and likeness, we ask, Father God, that you would make him whole, that all of the organs of his body would continue to develop during his stay there in NICU, that there would be no ill effect on him from this premature birth. Father God, we pray that he would be functional in all areas of his being, body, mind, and soul. We ask, Lord Jesus, that there would be no debility that would come, no mental debility that would come, no physical developmental issues that would come, but rather this little one who has begun so little in his mother's womb, just that beautiful coming together of sperm and egg, and who now comes into this world still so very little. We ask that you would raise him up, that you would raise him up, that he would grow, that he would develop, that he would experience the fullness of life that you intend for him. We ask also that you would bring consolation to his mommy and to his daddy and to all of his relatives. We ask that you would fill them with hope, that you would fill them with trust, that they would not become discouraged, but rather that they would hold on to the truths of the faith, that they would own the challenge, that they would persevere in prayer and patience, and that they would expect your intervention, which even now as we pray and know in faith, you are intervening right at this very moment. And so it is, Father, that we lift up to you this little one, little Matthias, and we ask you to bless him abundantly. And we pray this prayer in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to encourage you to pray for healing, and I want to encourage you to pray for others for healing. You know, we all have this capacity to pray for healing. People ask for our intercession. People ask us to pray for them. And sometimes we just say, okay, we will, and we never think about it. Or, you know, we say yes to it, and we'll just rattle off a quick Hail Mary without any intentionality. We just do it, almost as if we're fulfilling an obligation. But what we don't realize is that it's a holy trust. It's a sacred privilege to be able to pray for the healing of others. It really is. And God has given us these graces. He's imbued us with these capacities. You know, when we are baptized in Christ Jesus, we're baptized into the reality of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're baptized into the Paschal mystery, his life, his death, and his resurrection. And Father God intends for us to taste the full benefit of all of that. And just as our Lord walked upon the earth and healed people all of those years ago, you know, that healing gift is here. It's among us. It's in this mystical body of Christ. We have sacraments of healing. The sacrament of healing that's available to us all of the time is the sacrament of reconciliation. The sacrament of reconciliation, the sacrament of penance, which is what we called it years ago, the sacrament of confession. It is a healing sacrament. Yes, it restores us to the mystical body of Christ. It takes away the sin that we have committed through absolution, and it sets up a healing process for any residual effects of that sin. But it is a healing sacrament in its essence because it restores our relationship with God, right? And you know that we are a composite of body and soul. What affects the body can affect the soul. What affects the soul can affect the body. And we know this from our own experience, don't we? I mean, if you're really sick, you'll feel a tendency towards melancholy. You'll feel an experience internally, a pull and a tug maybe towards discouragement. I just want to say, those do not come from God. They come from the evil one. But our emotions, nonetheless, are affected by the disability or the debility of our physical condition, right? We know that likewise, our soul, the condition of our soul can affect our body. I mean, there are stories told of individuals who were suffering from grave illnesses, people that were suffering from real handicaps. And when they were right with God, when they set their lives back on the course that leads to eternal life by going to the sacrament, suddenly a lot of the issues that they were facing in their bodies are healed. There is absolutely no question about it. I'm thinking of someone who told me specifically that they were their blood pressure dropped, their heart disease, was put to rest, all because of the sacrament of confession. They were walking around in this instance, they were walking around in a state of great anger. And that anger created a problem within them. The same with depression. It creates problems in our physicality. But the state and the condition of our soul also has a likewise effect, as I was mentioning to you about anger, for example. And so, you know, we don't want to deny the fact that there is that correlation, right? But so we can pray for healing. We want to pray for the healing of our brothers and sisters, as well as the healing that we need to experience as well. So I really want to encourage you to pray for healing. Now listen, when you're praying for healing, I want you to know that God makes use of your imagination. Sometimes he'll bring a picture into your mind, like just this moment when we were praying for little Matthias, right? So as soon as we began to pray, God used my imagination to see us actually presenting baby Matthias, much like our Lady and St. Joseph presented Jesus in the temple. They held Jesus up, right? Simeon took him in his arms and he extended him to the Lord. You know, picturing that kind of an action can be a very great aid to praying for healing. And then we ask for the most precious blood of Jesus to be released upon him. We can picture that precious blood coming down, flowing down maybe from Calvary's Hill, covering this little baby, swathing him, you know, in this healing balm that comes by way of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, you know, all of these ways are ways in which we can experience this profound abundance that God wants us to know. Now, sometimes, you know, God heals us in our entirety, you know, sometimes he does. Sometimes he heals us in that we are able to embrace our cross, with greater patience, with greater kindness, and even with, by attaching our sufferings to the cross of our Lord and begin to see in the midst of that suffering tremendous graces, in which case our discouragement and our depression, our melancholy heart in light of that illness can change to joy, can change to absolute joy. We no longer find the cross a burden. We find it to be a sacred privilege, a sacred trust. So I want you to consider that. I want you to think about that. And I don't want you to be afraid to pray for healing. I don't. And I don't want you to be afraid to pray with others for healing. I could seem a little scary at first. You know, we might not like the fact that we've got to get out of the boat where we find some security. But the fact of the matter is, when we do get out of the boat, what happens? We find that we're walking on water. Why? Because we're keeping our eyes on Jesus. We are keeping our eyes on the Lord. I just want to prove a point to you about the way in which, you know, our soul affects our body and our body affects our soul. And this is found in 1 Corinthians, and it's found in chapter 11. And this is in reference to the Eucharist, right? We know that today many people receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ unworthily, either in a state of sin or having not fasted or in not even believing that this is the real presence. You know, all of those things make for a type of sacrilegious reception of the Eucharist. And here's what St. Paul writes in this chapter 11 in 1 Corinthians. He says this, and I'm going to read this from verse 23. I received from the Lord what I handed on to you, namely, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and after he had given thanks, broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Every time, then, you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes again. You'll remember that, won't you, from a salutation that we pray at Mass. Here we are at verse 27. This means that whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord unworthily sins against the body and the blood of the Lord. Now, if you didn't ever need to see, I mean, I don't know where you'd go to find clearer proof in addition to the institution of the Blessed Sacrament, which is contained for us in Sacred Scripture. I don't know where you'd get backup evidence that's more clearly stated than that particular verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27. This means that whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord unworthily sins against the body and the blood of the Lord. Because that's what you're taking into yourself, the body and the blood of the Lord. And you have to be suitably disposed to receive him, body, blood, soul, and divinity. He says this in 28, a man should examine himself first, only then should he eat of the bread and drink of the cup. 29, he who eats and drinks without recognizing the body eats and drinks a judgment on himself. So if you receive Eucharist and you don't believe in faith that this is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, you are eating and drinking a judgment against yourself. If you receive unworthily, you are eating and drinking a judgment against yourself. If you receive in a state of mortal sin, you are doing the same thing. Number 30, passage 30. That is why many among you are sick and infirm, and why so many are dying. If we were to examine ourselves, we would not be falling under the judgment in this way. But since it is the Lord who judges us, he chastens us to keep us from being condemned with the rest of the world. Therefore, my brothers, when you assemble for the meal, wait for one another. And it goes on from there. So there you have it, right? So there you have it. And I am encouraging you today to make certain that you are suitably disposed to receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. In what ways? That you are not in a state of mortal sin. If you don't know what mortal sin is, look it up in the catechism. It calls it grave sin. That you have fasted for the 1 hour before you are receiving. And three, that you believe that you are receiving the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what I want to say. I want to say this. This belief is an assent. It's an action of the will. You might not feel it. Your senses might defy you in it. You might not get it with your intellect. Who can comprehend such a great mystery? No. But we choose to believe. And we make acts with our body and our posture, our state of reverence in receiving our Lord, that show that we do believe. We bring ourselves physically, emotionally, mentally into that outward observance that shows that in our heart of hearts, we choose to believe. And to the extent that we do that, it's an interesting thing. Not only belief, but the pleasure of recognition begins to grow in us. When we come back, we're going to be with Marilyn. Marilyn, please, please hold. I do want to talk with you. Friends, you are listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams. 833-288-EWTN is the way that you can join us live today on Women of Grace Live. Stay with us.
Transforming the world one woman at a time. Let's return to Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Welcome back, friends. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. Absolutely delighted to have you with us today. Inviting you to contact us here with your questions or comments. 833-288-EWTN is the toll-free number for you if you're here in North America. That's 833-288-3986. We're also available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. We invite you to use the chat feature there to get your question or comment up. And I want to welcome a YouTube participant today who is Sister Mary Dominic. She is from the Congregation of the Precious Blood, and she is a first-time, visitor. She just stumbled upon us out there, and she is from Indonesia. So, sister, we do welcome you, and we hope that now that you found us, you'll stay with us. And it must have been very meaningful for you to hear us praying that portion of the Litany of the Most Precious Blood today. And this is the month that I'm sure your congregation celebrates with great joy and with great gratitude. So I do want to congratulate you. And I want to thank you for stopping by and letting us know that you're there. And we ask that God would abundantly bless your order and all of the works of your hands, that you might be the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ in the world today, and especially to those with whom he sends you, or were those with whom you minister, and those to whom you minister, and those to whom he sends you. There you go. Sorry, I muddled that up. But nonetheless, it comes with sincerity of heart and a true desire for you to experience all good things in the Lord. So thanks for being with us, sister. I hope you do come back. One of these days, sister, we invite you to contact us. We would love to talk with you. Let's get to Marilyn. Marilyn's been holding. We do want to hear from you too. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. 1-800-586. Marilyn is with us. She is in Seaguard, New Jersey. Marilyn, I don't think you're going to share really, really happy news with us, are you?
Hello.
Okay, darling.
Hello?
So what's, you're here. I hear you.
Okay. I'm, my daughter, I'm sure the fellow told you, my daughter passed away on May 4th. She had come home from a vacation with her husband, and she had developed COVID. Her death is really throwing me for a curve because I've been through other relatives in the family that have had a child that died. And I thought, oh, isn't that wonderful? They're in heaven with God. But for my daughter, Tara, I don't feel that way, Jeanette.
Marilyn, you know, I understand completely what you're saying here. And, you know, there's a difference between sympathy and empathy. And we can sympathize with someone who suffered a great loss or a tragedy or some reversal in life. But until we understand it for ourselves, we cannot offer them empathy. And empathy is the capacity to be with them in their trial because we know exactly what it's like. And I want to say that in a certain sense, the fact that there are family members there who have lost a child can be a source of consolation to you because these individuals know what that loss is like. And I certainly hope that they're being great supports to you in this time. But there is no pain that's greater than losing a child. There is no suffering in life that's greater than losing a child. And you know that I know what that is like. And so my heart goes out to you, and I stand with you in this moment, knowing what it's like to go through these seasons. And May is not all that long ago. That is just a couple of months back. And so in these very early days, the pain is very raw. It's very close to the surface. God is still providing us with a type of emotional anesthesia. We don't exactly realize the depths of them, of the different layers of loss that we'll experience, and really the penetrating reality of the grief. And what he did with me is that, and I think that this is probably the way he mostly operates, he just began to gradually remove that emotional anesthesia, knowing what I could take at any given point in time. So there is that initial assault to the senses. There's that initial assault to our emotional reality. But even that first assault is not the full range of it all. And gradually, because we have to be integrated back into a balance in life, he begins to remove that emotional anesthesia. But he never does it before we can handle the next layer of that grieving process. And as we progress through that grieving process, you know, it begins to change. I don't like to say it lightens up because that just isn't the case, but it begins to change. And I think that what's happening through that process is that God, through the beautiful graces that he gives to us, is actually helping us to accommodate our life to that loss and that loss to our life. And we grow in a facility to do that. That the pain never goes away. It does change, however. And we get better at accommodating our life around that loss and that loss around our life. I do want to tell you that I'm going to put you in a very special way into my rosary today. I'm going to be praying for you. I hope to spend some time before the Blessed Sacrament this afternoon. I will hold you up there. I will hold Tara up. I will hold up your son-in-law. And I want to...
I haven't talked to my son-in-law in 3 months because I thought that he rushed into disconnecting her from the ventilator. I know what God what the doctors told him, but I thought he could have waited to see what God wanted. And the thing was, maybe there was no hope for her, but one evening I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning and Father Groeschel was on, and he was saying about the accident he was in and that they told his friend that there was no hope for him and that to disconnect the ventilator, and his friend said, well, we'll see what, you know, God wants to do. And then a couple of hours later, he woke up, and he was perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. He wasn't brain dead or any of those things. And I think that's what I was thinking. You know, maybe God would have done something differently. But mm-hmm. do you think this is God's choice, Jeanette? Tara.
Well, this is what I think, Marilyn. I think that God operates in two ways, and there is his perfect will, and there's his permissive will. And his perfect will is that COVID virus wouldn't exist. His perfect will is that your daughter Tara would not have contracted COVID virus. But God permits things to happen. We live in a broken and fallen world, but God still permits things to happen. And he permits them for reasons that are outside of our scope of understanding. He tells us that in Scripture, my ways are not your ways, right? Nor are my thoughts your thoughts, says the Lord. So, you know, he also permitted your son-in-law to disconnect or to give the doctors permission to disconnect the ventilator. Now, what the evil one wants to do is he wants to tie you to this grief by, sending out these spirits to confound you a little bit. And those spirits are spirits that tie us to past events. This happened. Your daughter contracted COVID. Your son-in-law gave permission to have her disconnected, and she passed away. That's happened already. There's no changing that. But the evil one wants for us to be held to that loss, to be held to that sorrow, maybe even to, and I'm not suggesting you've done this yet, but he can tempt us to grow in bitterness and resentment. And he might tempt you in that direction. And those spirits that the evil one sends out are spirits whose names we know and know them all too well. Coulda, woulda, shoulda, and if only. We could have done this. We should have done this. I wish my son-in-law wouldn't have done this, right? If only he hadn't done this, then maybe this would have come. That's not helpful. That's the kind of thinking the evil one wants to lock us into. What we have to know is that God's grace is sufficient. Your daughter, that was, God took that opportunity. And he brought your daughter into the fullness of his life. I'm praying that she died in the sacraments. I'm praying that that's the case. But even if she didn't, we know from the revelation of our Lord to St. Faustina that he gives every soul three opportunities to say yes to him. Nobody knows what happens in that moment of particular judgment or when that moment of particular judgment takes place. Nobody knows what happens when the soul separates from the body. Nobody knows how soon after someone is pronounced dead that the soul actually separates from the body. So there's plenty of time for God to operate. He doesn't even need time, but there's plenty of time for God to operate in that moment. And even if a soul has not received the sacrament of the anointing of the sick or extreme unction, even if that soul has not been at peace with the Lord, has been wayward, God gives that soul, he told Faustina, three opportunities. So this is what we know. Your daughter had the opportunity to enter into that moment of particular judgment, ready and willing. And you know your daughter, and you know it's likely that she turned in his direction, because he says that, even if that soul turns in my direction, I take that for a yes. So what we do now is we thank and praise the Lord for the gift of this life. We thank and praise the Lord that you had these wonderful years with her, that she was entrusted to you for this period of time. You continue to pray for the repose of her soul, because if she's in purgatory, your prayers can help her, though she can no longer merit grace for herself. Your prayers are very efficacious for her. And also, remember these words that were given to us by John the 23rd. Our loved ones are not separated from us, only invisible to us. You might not have the pleasure of seeing her again in this life. Physically, by the natural order, you're not going to see her in this life. God can do anything. He can suspend the laws that he's created and let that happen. But it's not likely. But here is the reality. you will see her again. And she is not separated from you, just invisible to you. So you can still have a relationship with her, not through those occult means, but through prayer, through the sacraments, through the beauty and wonder of this communion of saints that we live in, the church triumphant, the church suffering, and the church militant. So I understand, you know, and when my late husband and I lost our son, you know, it's very easy to rush there. And I thought to myself, well, we could have done this, and maybe this would not have happened. But my husband wisely said, number one, we're not going to blame each other for this. And number two, we're not going to say it could have been different, because we did the very best that we could do. And so we accept that, and we ask God to give us the grace of acceptance even as we make our way through this difficult time. Does that help you, Marilyn?
Yes. Can I just say one thing? About 3 weeks before she passed away, before she got sick, I stopped by her home, and she said to me, I said, what are you doing? And she goes, she was on her little computer, and I said, what are you doing? And she looked up at me, and she said, Mom, I'm ready. And I said, Tara, ready for what? And she said, I'm ready to meet Dad. And I said, what are you talking about? And she said, well, things haven't been the same since Dad passed away. She said, I love Dad. She said, he was my best friend. I could talk to Dad and tell him anything, she said. And I missed him terribly, she said, and I'm ready to meet him. And I said, but Tara, you have two children and a husband. Why are you talking like that? Your father was sick, and when God took him 5 years ago, he passed away very peacefully. And then I said, why are you telling me this? And she just put her head down, and that was it. And I never discussed it again for those couple of weeks. And I'm just was shocked that, you know, when I think back, why would she even tell me this, Jeanette?
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes, Marilyn, people have a premonition. You know, they have a forewarning. And I think that maybe in sharing that, you know, our Lord was in the process of preparing you, and so that you would have that moment, and you could look back on that moment, and you could say, she was ready. You know, she was ready. And I'm thinking that when she said she was ready in every way, that she was prepared. And, you know, I think that you can look on that moment with great hope and with great trust in God. And in time, see it as a great joy and a signal grace that God gave to you to help you through these intervening early months of your grieving process.
And she did have the anointing of the sick and the plenary indulgence, the priest.
Wonderful.
I went down to the chapel, and he gave her that right before all this went down. And
oh,
he said,
wow,
she was
Marilyn.
Going right to heaven.
Oh, how beautiful, Marilyn. Oh, how beautiful. Oh, my goodness. What a great consolation God has entrusted to you. And what joy. Oh, my heavens. How beautiful. I am so happy for you that you have that consolation. May God be praised for that. I'm delighted. He works all things to the good, Marilyn. And you know that to be true.
My heart is broken.
I know. Well, you know, for me, when I lost Saigai, the Blessed Mother became so very important to me. She knew my loss. She knew my suffering. And I went straight to her. And I knew that God had given her the grace that it took to stand under that cross and watch her son be tortured to death. And I asked God to give me that same grace. And I knew God gave her grace every day of her life to suffer the loss of her son. And our Blessed Lady, I mean, you know, she had the blessed privilege, you know, of knowing that Jesus rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, right? But it doesn't mean she didn't grieve him, because she was a mother, and she was human. She was not divine. She was human. So she suffered exactly as mothers suffer when they lose a child, but she suffered to a greater degree. And the reason why she suffered to a greater degree is because she was so holy, and she had no selfish motivation in her suffering. She suffered deeply. And we know that that suffering was part of her union with her son, with that cross, when he felt forsaken by the Father. So our Blessed Lady is always there for you. And in those moments when it's most dire and you feel most sad, and I'm glad you feel sad. You wouldn't be human if you didn't feel sad. I'd be really worried about you if you didn't feel sad and if you weren't grief-ridden. But she's there for you.
She did have her Mass on the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima, which is very important to me. It was a very beautiful Mass, and the whole church was filled with people. And it was just a magnificent send-off to Tara. But, you know, and the Blessed Mother is very powerful in my life. I've been healed of many things, uterine cancer and many other things through Mary. It's just that, you know, I'm thinking, why, Lord, why her? I love this so. She was just my special girl and a lovely girl, a very simple girl, school bus driver. Everybody loved her. Everywhere you went, the bank, the grocery store, everybody was crying when they heard she passed away because she just left. She was just kind and nice and good. Nothing special, just a very special girl to everyone that she encountered.
Yes. Well, she sounds like she was a real tribute to you, and my guess is she remains a real tribute to you. And the interesting thing that I learned when Simon passed was that love doesn't die. Love continues. St. Paul tells us that, doesn't he? That all of the gifts of the Spirit will pass away. The one thing, the only thing that remains is love. Because what is love? Love is God. God is love. And so God is always with us, and in that love that we experience, we're experiencing a portion of the God life, and that never dies. It's eternal. So you'll love her forever, and that tie has the potential to grow even stronger in death than it did in life. It's a mystery the way in which God works through these things. But God bless you, Marilyn. Know that I'm tucking you in my rosary today, going to lift you up before the Blessed Sacrament. And I know that God has abundant blessings in store for you. Well, you know, friends, it is true. We are going to suffer these reversals. We're going to suffer these losses. We're going to experience pain. But in the end, what is all of that? In the end, it's all just a means by which God draws us near to himself. When we're entrusted with these sorrows in life, you know, God is making us strong. He's making us strong in him. He's giving us a greater opportunity to exercise trust, a greater opportunity to exercise faith. And it hurts. It hurts greatly. And part of that hurting is because it's a dying to self. It's a dying to self. To grow in virtue requires that we die to aspects of our own being that, you know, are anti that virtue, opposite to that virtue. So to grow in trust means that we, you know, have to die to doubt. To grow in love means that we've got to die to selfishness. To grow in hope means that we've got to die to discouragement and, heaven forbid, despair, right? So there's a dying to self in that process. But why do we need to die to self? We need to die to self so that the God life can take up greater residence within us, so that we contain more of God, more of him, so that we can become that reflection of his own presence in the world today that he intends for us to be. So, you know, I want to encourage you today, no matter what is going on in your life, God is going to use it for the good. We look at the realities that we face today, and there's many of them. I wouldn't even know how to rank them in terms of intensity or in terms of threat. There are so many of them. But we remind ourselves of who we're called to be and who we are in Christ Jesus. We're called to be more than conquerors. And in him, we become more than conquerors. But it is also he in us that makes us more than conquerors. Because it's his divine life operating in us and through us that helps us to achieve all things for him and to stay the course and to finish strong and to be able to encourage others to do the same. So take heart. Take heart. I just want to close the program out with a few lines from Isaiah. I've been waiting to read some of these lines from Isaiah to you all week, and this seems to be the appropriate moment. And this is what we read. The prophet says, "But now, thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the water, I will be with you. In the rivers, you shall not drown. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned. The flames shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in return for you, because you are precious in my eyes and glorious, and because I love you. Hold on to those words. We're told to fear not. Jesus says fear is useless. What is needed is trust. And our God has proven to us time and time again that he is indeed trustworthy. Until we have the opportunity to be together again, may God richly bless you. And get out to our website, womenofgrace.com. Join us for this beautiful event in San Antonio, the middle of September. God bless. Bye-bye.